companion podcast to the parksandcons.com website and YouTube channel, where it says cons, theme parks, collecting, and other fun stuff. It's January 7th, 2017. I'm your host, Sean. I'm here with Carmel.
Hey there.
Parks and Cons, your on-the-spot podcast, where we take you to the heart of the action of the best conventions and themed entertainment events around. Today, we are recording at the Reef, also known as LA Mart, here in Los Angeles, just a few miles away from the LA Convention Center for LA Sci-Fi and Comic Con. It is their 40th anniversary show, what has been traditionally called the old Shrine Show, which hasn't been the Shrine Show for, a little over a year now, I believe, is when they first kind of made the journey over here. But Los Angeles Comic Book and Science Fiction Convention, a show that has a lot of history in the LA area, something that was a popular little show long before cons were, an every weekend type of thing. And so we are here. It's the first weekend for us of covering cons in 2017. It's a big calendar year with lots of fun shows coming up, and we'll get to more of those as we progress throughout the year. But this weekend, we're starting with a few smaller shows. Although this LA Sci-Fi is not a smaller version of it necessarily, it's not a huge show in general. And we'll kind of talk about some differences with this 40th anniversary show, which is a two-day show rather than the normal one-day format. But also then we hit a Hallmark show this morning, which I think it's maybe the third year we've covered that. It's a very tiny show. I actually just ran in myself. It was the 18th annual Hallmark Collectibles show in Anaheim, and they had a new location. And so let's go ahead and start there then, which you did not run in for the Hallmark show. I just went in on my own.
Yeah, it hasn't been a show that has been of particular interest, and so it was also one we didn't have press credentials for, so you're going to save a few dollars.
Yeah, I mean, definitely these smaller shows, we don't inquire about press or anything like that. We just pay the $5, $10, $15, whatever it is, and just go to it that way. And so, yeah, I paid the $5, went. They had moved, actually. They used to be over at the hotel, I believe it was a Marriott down the way from Disneyland, but they've moved over to the Anaheim United Methodist Church Hall. So it's kind of a church, really, it truly was a church hall show, and it just goes 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., but it is a once-a-year show. It's always one of the first shows out the gate for us, and it is a tiny show. It's presented by the Ho Ho Club of Orange County, so a Christmas Hallmark group. And it's a cute little show. They've got tons of Hallmark ornaments there, as you would expect. Not a ton of vendors in general. I mean, normally I'd say there's been about maybe 15 vendors there, and each of the vendors has 4 or 5 tables packed with ornaments. This time it was maybe 60 to 70% of that, so just less vendors in general. But it did fill the entire hall space. I mean, they could have definitely fit more rows in the middle, but it had, each of the 4 walls were kind of filled with the vendors and their big tables full of stuff. Lots of Comic-Con SDCC exclusive Hallmark ornaments there, as well as, any other kind of ornament. I mean, in my interest areas, there was lots of, whether it was Star Wars or Peanuts or Looney Tunes or Disney, some Harry Potter and Walking Dead and all sorts of fun things that way, some itty-bitties and things like that. But in general, though, I'd say the only difference besides the location this time was that there was a lot less of the kind of periphery stuff, meaning it was pretty much just ornaments. There was almost nothing but ornaments there. And although it is an ornament show primarily, in the past there's been also a decent little helping of toys kind of scattered around and things like that, and some movie posters or whatnot, and this one was almost exclusively ornaments. So $5 admission fee. It's nice to, support their little group there. They were selling some little old ladies there had baked all sorts of amazing cookies and cakes and things like that, and so bought a few cookies from them to help support them, and took those along with us for snacks throughout the day, and made our way out here to the Reef.
We did. So the Reef was interesting. We were expecting it to be a really long line because they did expand to a two-day format for their anniversary show and have some Hollywood talent here. But surprisingly, when we got here, there was not much of a line, if any at all, to purchase tickets. And in the past, there's been lines around the block, so I was a little surprised by that.
Yeah, I mean, we had the good fortune to gain help from our friend George Cadero over at CBC Apparel, and you can find him on Twitter at CBC Gear. You can find him on Instagram as well and Facebook and all of that. But he's also the minifigure guy, so we've talked before. He sells tons of great minifigures. We bought actually three from him. Got a Killer Croc and a Beast Boy and what was the other one we picked up? I have it here, Killer Croc. Oh yeah, Boomerang from Suicide Squad. So, but fun, like, you know, figures that you're not going to find in an average Lego set there, then he has those types of things. So three of those for $10. But anyway, he helped us out greatly by agreeing to get us our tickets ahead of time, because that line can get crazy. And the last couple LA Sci-Fis I've been here, the line was going like out the doors, starting on the street. And I thought it would just be thousands of people. Like, I really misjudged, at least for the Saturday version, because it has been relatively slow. It's been much less crowded than the last few shows that we've been here for, and so that caught me by surprise. Now, some of that may have to do with pricing of the tickets. It's $20 rather than the normal $15 here, so that may play into it. I doubt the parking plays into it, but one of the things we've talked about is the Reef has gone to this model of having $15 parking, which I was surprised, but even our understanding then is even the vendors pay that price. So, I mean, it's really pricey parking for sure. But some of the headliners they have for the show this weekend, they've got Ray Santiago, Pablo from Ash vs. Evil Dead, Josh McDermott, Eugene from Walking Dead, Kari Payton, we always talk about him from Teen Titans Go, but now he's here as King Ezekiel, Karen Fukuhara for Suicide Squad, Patrick Duffy of Dallas fame, George Perez, the big comic star here, sketching away, Phil Barassa, and a handful of other guests as well, and they're spread out between the 2 days. So today, I believe the main focus is... let's see, Josh McDermott, Eugene, and then Pablo Simon Bolivar from Ash vs. the Evil Dead, it's Ray Santiago who plays Pablo, and then Karen Fukuhara for Suicide Squad. And then tomorrow, having Peyton here is kind of the headliner for the Sunday programming. So normally this is just a one-day show. It's normally Sundays 10 to 5. This year, or for this one show, it's 10 to 6 on Saturday and 10 to 5 tomorrow. They do not sell a multi-day pass, so it's $20 per day. So I'm curious to see if that price continues throughout the year, because they did have some guest cancellations as well, and so I don't know that they quite packed the lineup that they had originally thought they would, but they kept the prices at the same, and so I'm really surprised that it's not more crowded. But I mean, it's a decent crowd. As we're recording this right now, it is what, almost 2 o'clock? One, okay. But yeah, decent crowd, but definitely the vendors we've talked to, none of them have said they've been too busy yet.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, obviously long lines for the autographs, although we've seen them even longer at other points. But yeah, in regards to the cancellations, I think Arthur Adams and Katie Lotz were supposed to be here, but instead they're coming to their March 12th convention. So, yeah, interesting. It's cool that they're having some panels, but from the panel schedule, none of that really caught my attention too much. I was wanting to go out of my way to attend them. So, yeah, it's a different show. Also, it's a little different inside the vending area, because the Reef have added all these extra walls that weren't here before. It was always a little kind of divided, but now there's like actual solid walls dividing things. So it's hard to see what a vendor is selling until you're like right in front of their booth, because it's almost more like they have little rooms to themselves. It's not enclosed or any totally, but a lot of them have three walls, so it is kind of enclosed, and it's a different setup. It doesn't have the same feel of, obviously, as when it was at the Shrine, definitely, but even from past Reef shows. So
yeah, the Reef is definitely not my favorite convention venue. It's not even in the top 10, probably. It's not a place I'm all that much of a fan of, but it is what it is. I mean, it's pretty isolated from food options, and the surrounding area is, I mean, it's in, you know, LA, and there's lots of homeless people around, lots of people asking for money and things like that. And so it's not the ideal venue. They always have a couple food trucks, but nothing that really grabs my attention. The parking being $15 here is pretty crazy. So we always park on the street, and on Sundays that's free to park on the street, and on Saturday today it's meter parking. So not too bad, a couple bucks, $4 for 4 hours type of thing, or something along those lines. So not too bad for any of that. But the show itself, to pay $20 for admission and then pay $15 for parking, if you're a party of two, obviously that's $55 right there. That's pretty pricey for this type of show when you consider something like a Long Beach Comic Con or something. Much better rates than that. Most of the parking, I know it is LA, so LA has its own problems obviously as it comes with parking, but when you do have street parking not too far away that has the meter parking, I'm really surprised the Reef goes with that pricing structure. So that is what it is. Now in terms of the walls, as you said, it makes it like a labyrinth in here, and that's the way when George had first texted me about that, they had kind of changed the look in here, that LA Mart had added these walls, and it was like, wow, it's even more kind of claustrophobic than I expected. I mean, you really can't see anything but walls, and it seems like it's set up so that you could hang things on the walls, but the exhibitors have been told specifically not to put anything, including double-sided tape even on the walls. So there's just kind of these blank walls everywhere, and unless a vendor has some sort of portable board to put behind themselves, it's just kind of this weird space. And so I know I've talked about this before on the podcast. I definitely preferred the show at the Shrine, but I think it's better for the show at LA Mart. That said, when I said that, that was when the show was a cheaper price and the parking was a cheaper price. So I don't know if the escalation of the ticket price and the parking price is part of the price of doing business here at LA Mart. I'm not sure that that's the best move for shows. So we'll see. More shows have kind of shown up here on our circuit. I don't know how many will be here in 2017. But with that, because of all the additional walls, as you said, it also feels like there's just less vendors. Now, that could be just, a trick of the mind here with the various walls. And it does feel like you're walking into kind of like individual little stores as you go into each of them. But just seems like it feels to me like it's about 60-70% of what the normal capacity is for vendors. And that may be totally incorrect. Maybe it's more vendors than ever. But that's just kind of the vibe I've had so far.
Well, we actually counted the rows, and
it's like six
rows. Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's a different setup, and yeah, it makes it a little tough to just kind of browse, because I mean, especially when we're in a tight budget like we are presently, it's kind of nice to be able to see from a distance what someone has, to see, how much, if you really want to approach them or not. And in this setup, it's pretty virtually impossible unless you stand way off to the side and can get a decent angle to see a few different vendors at one time. But it really isn't that much opportunity for that. So you're practically right in front of the vendor before you can tell for sure if it's anything that you're even interested in, which as a occasional buyer like we are currently, it's not the easiest thing. I mean, if we had plenty of money, it wasn't a concern, then I'd be more apt to go up to different vendors. But in our current state, I'd rather not waste their time and stuff if I'm not certain that they're at least interested in what they have. But it's different. This is probably what, the fourth one they've done here?
That's right.
Fourth or fifth, something like that. And so it seems like they like this venue more than the Shrine, and it does pull a different crowd than the Shrine did. I mean, the Shrine was very much a swap meet feel, and it was mostly more hardcore collectors, whereas here there's more families and kids around. So I'm guessing it bodes well for the show, but today in particular, I'm not sure how the setup is doing for the vendors, because a lot of the vendors that we walk by, they're just kind of sitting there and aren't doing too much, and the aisles aren't particularly packed or anything with people. So hopefully between the 2 days, vendors make up their expenses and make what they need. But presently, I'm not sure that most of them will.
Yeah, you know, and I'm not sure really what the price differential was for the vendors from the Saturday or from the Sunday only version to a Saturday Sunday version. You know, as I said, it's definitely much more family. It feels like more of a family atmosphere since they've moved to this venue. And that, again, this is all just our observations of, you know, going for however many hours to all the shows since they've been in this spot. But the one thing about the LA Sci-Fi Show, and the reason why it usually is a show I really look forward to consistently, is because it's a great shopping show. I mean, as you said, we're really not wanting to spend too much money this weekend, but that said, there are some really good deals that we've happened upon and participated in some. I mean, we found a great stock of Marvel Legends for $15 each, and that included some that have been traditionally a little, I mean, they've opened up definitely. They're more readily available on Amazon and eBay now, but definitely have been a little more difficult to find, like Black Panther from the Civil War line, or Venom, Taskmaster, even the Punisher from the Walgreens exclusive, which we actually picked him up because we've not yet found him out in the wild, and I'm sure there's lots of Walgreens where he's just sitting around, but we've not picked him up yet. So that was fun to find that. As I said, we went by CBC Apparel and picked up three of the minifigures that they had there, a Killer Croc, Boomerang, and Beast Boy from the Teen Titans. Got those three for $10. It's a great deal. It was a bunch of great hats and beanies and bags there as well, all at really good prices. We found a big chunk of Funko's Pops, maybe, I don't know, 50 or so of them there. A variety of fairly recent ones, and we got a K2SO from the Star Wars Rogue One line for $5, and we got a General Leia also for $5, and a Black Manta for $5 from DC Comics, which was a neat little find there as well. Then there was another couple booths that had the smaller scale Marvel Legend figures, the 3 3/4 inch. Finally picked up a Hydro Man for, I believe it was $10 there, and that was better than what we've seen at a lot of conventions. There are tons of dollar, 50 cent, $2 bins. In terms of comics, lots of wall books, and see some pretty good prices on wall books as well, mingled in. Not anything in terms of, there's usually a vendor or two here that has a lot of very recent comics at $1 a piece, but this show I've not seen really almost anybody with any recent comics, meaning like this week's and the last month. Most of the bins are, you know, something about 6 months to a year out or older, but lots of comic choices there. I'd say if anything, just seems like less toy choices, a little bit less on the Marvel Legends, less on the Star Wars Black Series, definitely a lot less on the vintage. I mean, there's a couple guys here with vintage toys, and again, we've talked about this many times on the podcast, Southern California just isn't a good place to buy vintage toys. It's a really the market is just really rough in terms of the pricing. It's really inflated greatly. But that said, there's just not even many options in that realm, which is kind of sad to me, because one of the things about the Shrine Show, if we're going to call it that, that's kind of lost over the years, is it used to have a lot of vintage toys. It used to be my go-to place for vintage toys, and it kind of gave the feel of a Northern California show in a way, or an Arizona or Vegas show or something like that in terms of the pricing on vintage toys, and that's just kind of all evaporated since they've moved to the Reef. Now, I don't know if that's coincidental and has nothing to do with the change in venue. I don't know if booth prices changed at all. I have no clue what that is all about, but it's a little bit different show. Now we come and look for really good deals on comics and kind of modern toys, and vintage toys, again, we pretty much have to leave, you know, out of a four-hour bubble of Southern California really to do much there. Now, as you said, there is a panel room. They do have panels throughout the day. They are not the major guests. They're not the big media stars. So, for example, on Saturday, we've got 12 o'clock. Kim Gottlieb Walker discusses her photography for John Carpenter films such as Halloween, The Fog, Escape from New York, and then working on Star Trek The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine. 1 o'clock, Ruben Procopio and John Bagnanov, artists of DC Comics Batman 66, talking about their work. 2 o'clock, William Winkler, writer-director of a new series of Ultraman X. 3 o'clock, Ultraman and the X the Movie. They're doing a LA sci-fi premiere. 4:30, Ultraman Singa 5 the Movie, also a premiere there. Then on Sunday, Patrick Duffy from Man from Atlantis and Dallas is going to be talking at 11:30. At 1 o'clock, Joan Howard Maurer, talking to the daughter of Mo Howard from the Three Stooges. So talking about her dad. 1:30, now this is going to be a big and a big time panel. Kari Payton talking Walking Dead, and I'm sure Teen Titans Go as well. He's always a great guest. We've seen him at many panels. And then again, they close the day with a couple Ultraman showings. So that kind of gives you the program. But normally there is no programming here, so that is a nice addition. And that may be why they felt the little bit more expensive ticket was warranted there.
Yeah, I think Kari's the only one that I would really be of interest, but at this point I'm not sure that we're coming back tomorrow. I mean, it's been an interesting show. We'll see how it bodes for the vendors. Well, I'm sure we'll talk to some of them after the end of the show and in the coming weeks, and we'll find out how it went for them, and hopefully it goes well for everybody.
Definitely. And we kind of our last thing, and we'll see if we stay that long, because we've got we're heading over to Universal Studios Hollywood for some park time in a little bit here. But we do have a ticket to get a sketch from George Perez, and that's always kind of a favorite thing for us. Having George Perez at a convention, we always talk about that just bumps the whole con up a couple levels. And so we've seen him at Amazing Las Vegas before. We've seen him at Phoenix Comic Con before. I believe this is the first time we are going to get him to sketch something here at LA Sci-Fi, as long as we do have time. So they do a ticketing system, which is nice, so you can either wait in line, or we're in the 160s. So as we started recording the podcast, he was in the 120s. So if we head over there and our ticket is good, we're going to be able to go ahead and get his sketch. And he does these nice, you know, really quick 5-minute sketches of whoever you want. So we've got a Thanos at home, and a Deathstroke, and Black Bolt. So we'll see what we pick up today, but that's always a highlight of the con as well. Yeah, $40 too. So you get great entertainment. He's super kind. One of the most, outgoing and fun guys at any convention ever, not to mention that he's just such an all-star, you know, creator of so many characters, including, you know, Nightwing and his epic runs on things like Avengers and Teen Titans and all of that. So, but I think with that, it's about time to wrap this up. So when we check back with you, the plan is that it'll be after the West Coaster Toy Show, which is tomorrow. So unless something else comes up, that's where we'll check back in. All right, we're back, and actually have a little bit of a change in course. We ended up not covering the West Coaster Toy Show. We wanted to get out there, and we didn't realize it closed at 3, thought it closed at 5, and it was just, super early show. It was only a 9-3 show, and just the timing was not going to work. We're going to cut it too short to really get there and do anything with it. So we ended up skipping it. So unfortunately, it's a fun little show. You definitely can check out our videos from last year, and definitely we'll talk about in the future, although it is a very niche show, very much kind of vintage toy soldier specifically, but interesting in that. So that said, though, we do have lots coming up in the next week and beyond. So let's go ahead and take a look at the calendar. This weekend coming up, we've got a handful of shows. First up, we got the Star Wars Half Marathon Expo weekend, the run weekend that Disney does at the Disneyland Resort. There's, 4 of them a year, and Star Wars is one of the favorite to check out. The exhibit hall is usually pretty cool, and some neat merchandise and things like that. Lots of cool Star Wars costumes or cosplays with the runners and stuff throughout the weekend. But that takes place January 12th through the 15th at the Disneyland Hotel and Resort. All-American Collector's Show out in L.A. January 14th. It's an old-time collectibles toy show. Lots of great antique stuff, but also not so antique, maybe 70s, 80s stuff as well. Then we've got a brand new convention at the L.A. Convention Center, Comic Excitement, January 14th and 15th. Looking forward to checking out this show. We've followed their progress as they've planned the show over about 2 years now, and so looking forward to seeing what it's all about. January 14th, 15th, L.A. Convention Center. Also then this week, weekend, rounding out the weekend, Anime Impulse, January 14th and 15th, the Pomona Fairplex. It was a really fun show last year. Really big time show in terms of hours, like a really long. So you can check out our podcast from last year, and we go all into that. And you can check out more on our website. If interested. But it's a fun show. Definitely looking forward to seeing what it's all about. Then out a couple weeks, we've got Bricks LA returning to the Pasadena Convention Center January 27th, 28th. Lots of Lego and building fun there. Then Gallifrey One, the Doctor Who, pretty much the number one Doctor Who convention in North America. It's February 17th through the 19th out at the LAX Hilton. Then that same weekend, unfortunately, because we're going to be spread thin there, Long Beach Comic Expo returns to the Long Beach Convention Center February 18th and 19th. Always a fun show. Always look forward to Long Beach show. And then rounding out February, at least what we have on the calendar now, Pasadena Comic Con returns to the Pasadena Convention Center February 26th. Please help support the show by using our Amazon link on our homepage. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and it does help support the show. If you've not already done so, please consider leaving us reviews on iTunes and or Stitcher. Both help us grow the audience and find more people out there, people to find us. You can always find us on social media at Parks and Cons, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Periscope, all of them Parks and Cons. All right, wrapping up for this first convention weekend of 2017. Until next time, we'll see you in line somewhere.
And that was the Parks and Cons podcast. Join us again next time for more news, notes, and discussions on the intersection of awesome, where cons, themed entertainment, collecting, and general geek goodness collide. For past podcast episodes, our YouTube channel, photo galleries, and articles, visit our website at parksandcons.com. We appreciate your feedback, so if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, send an email to comments@parksandcons.com. Help us add to the community. If you enjoy our work, recommend us to your friends, or simply leave the show a positive review on our iTunes or Stitcher pages. As always, thank you for listening to the Parks and Cons podcast, and look for us in line somewhere. The Parks and Cons podcast is not affiliated with the conventions, theme parks, or any other entity mentioned during this podcast. All trademarks are the properties of respective trademark owners. Parks and Cons is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. For more information about this show, visit us at parksandcons.com or email us at comments@parksandcons.com. This podcast is copyright 2016 by parksandcons.com.